Praise and thanks be to the Lord, that we may open our mouths and our hearts to honor His name and sing praises to Him and also worship Him. Before we do that, I would like to read a few verses from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 48, from verse 12. Isaiah 48, from verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I believe that in this evening hour, we are not only reading the word, that it applies to a Jacob or an Israel, but we are reading the word and want to take in what God had to say to his people, that he also wants to say to us in this hour what he has to say. And we are grateful that he has spoken and that he is still speaking. For we are living in the last and serious times. He has not spoken in secret, but his word has reached all countries in our day. And we know that he will marvelously accomplish everything he has set out to do. May he lead and guide us in this evening hour through the power of his Holy Spirit. May he bless us from the riches of his grace. Let us rise now and ask him for his blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may assemble ourselves and that we may also hear what you have to say to us. You always have something to say to your people. And we are so glad that we know that even in our days you have not and will not remain silent, but that you speak to us through your powerful word. For your word is the truth, it endures. What you spoke in ancient times remains, and we see the fulfillment of your word and your promises. We thank you that you have fulfilled the old and revealed something new. We are so glad, Lord, that we may have part in all what you do, in your work, in your mighty deeds. We are your people, the sheep of your hand, and we ask you tonight to take from us all that cannot stand before you, O God, from my heart, from my life, from our thoughts, everything, Lord, that does not belong in your kingdom. Let it be far from us, O Lord, and give us open hearts, and give us an open ear, and give us an open eye, so that we can see, Lord, what you mean, O God. Bless us, bless your messenger, our brother, Lord. Bless all your people, everywhere, in all places tonight. Lord, who may be despised, who may be scattered, Lord, who may be looking out for your blessings, Lord, do not forsake them, but bless them and comfort them. Comfort us too, and help us in this hour. We also ask you to be with us in the days ahead. We worship you and praise your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now we are here again in this hall, almost unusual and yet beautiful that we can be here. We are grateful to God for everything, basically for everything, even for the simplest hall we have. I was in Zurich on Sunday, and it took a good year for the hall there to be completely renovated, and it became a festival room, a real festival room, and you could feel at home in it. But not only that, people who came were happy that there was a church service again, that they could hear God's word again. The most beautiful hall would be useless unless God can talk to us, and we can talk to him, and have complete trust in him in all situations. We believe that he will bring everything out gloriously. On Saturday we had a very nice wedding near Bern, that is behind Bern, on Lake Thun. And I had to ask myself what our reaction would be if we, if I and my brothers were put in the same position as the pastor there and the congregation. It was a huge Methodist church with a pastor and everything. And these young people wanted Brother Frank to marry them. And the pastor was there. About 200 people were there. And I thought to myself, how would I feel if that happened to me? But God always gives grace. Maybe he leads me in such deep ways to understand everyone in every situation, and never to look down from above, but to look up from the very bottom and help others. And this man, he shook my hand before I left and said, God bless you in your ministry. The word obviously spoke to the people. And this young man had only come to the meeting in Zurich for the second time, and he was so gripped by the word, he was so overwhelmed. He had already left the church and still asked the pastor to allow the wedding to take place there with all his people, and he still said yes. Just imagine, How would we have reacted, brothers? I learned a great lesson from this, that we should still show grace and love, especially in critical situations in life. And may God really give us that in abundance. This is the only way we can win others. This is the only way we can become a blessing to them, if we place ourselves in their midst and think we are even less than they are, and actually allow God's love to triumph over everything. God then always gives us His blessing. As you know, Brother Branham was asked about the secret of his power. He says, the question is not about power. It happens through love, through the love of God. All bossiness will one day come to an end, but the love of God remains forever. And the one who has it also remains forever with the love. It is the same with the Word of God. The Word of God remains forever, and whoever has received it remains with the Word forever. That can no longer be separated. Just as the prophets in the Old Testament were called gods, because God's Word went out to them, and they took this divine substance into themselves. They have been placed in the divine state already here on earth. And our Lord said, surely I have said that those to whom the Word went forth are gods, already deified by God through the Word, restored to the divine state. So, if God's Word remains forever, then all who have received it in truthfulness remain with the Word forever, because the Word has been placed in our souls as divine seed, and every seed brings forth after its kind. Seed of God must bring forth seed of God, right? How do I see that? There is no other way. That's why some people don't understand the word from Psalm 45, which is repeated in Hebrews 1. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Only God can come forth from God. And so Jesus Christ was God made manifest in the flesh as the Son of God. And we are sons and daughters of God. Beloved, the plan of God is probably greater and more marvelous than we can possibly comprehend. God has planned something marvelous even before the world began, and He is carrying it out. If we can look back one day, I don't know if that will be possible. After all, we can't look from here to there. Neither do I know if we can look from there to here. But one thing will be certain. For all eternity, we will be with our God as sons and daughters of God, because Jesus Christ has been revealed here in the flesh as the Son of God, and we have been born again to a living hope through the same Word and the same Spirit. This is not a doctrine, this is reality. This is an experience. It has become a part of our lives. That is the big difference. If it's a doctrine, then you argue about it. If it's an experience, you thank God for it and go your way. That's the big difference. Those who still argue have not yet experienced it, and no one can take it away from anyone who has experienced it. It's as simple as that. And sometimes we make it complicated. I am not a person who needs bouquets of flowers. Brother Branham says, better a bouquet of flowers here than a big wreath when you go home. The graves of the prophets can be decorated by others, namely those who put them there. But I was truly delighted on Sunday in Zurich. I have probably never seen so many people in my life who came before the service. I was there on time, and they said one after the other from the bottom of their hearts, Brother Frank, I am glad that you are here, that you have come back safe and sound. These words did me so much good, as if a balm had been poured over my soul. You know what it's like when you are in the front line and all the guns are pointed at you. The enemy has no other target in the world at the moment. And we live in the nuclear age. You press the button and the guns are sure to hit, because that's the time. But I really enjoyed it. And I think the hall was full again after a while. I think almost to the last seat. No, I was really pleased. God has blessed. I'm convinced that the ammunition will run out one day, and that the believers will have to realize that there is no point in making life difficult for each other or being against each other, but that we serve and follow the Lord together in all faithfulness and do what we can. Blank spot. We have heard His word, and it speaks to us every time. It always has something to say to us. I couldn't help but think of Psalm 45 when this word was read, that the Lord will carry out His cause victoriously. And also the thought, assemble yourselves and hear. We want to assemble ourselves. We want to hear. We know that God has announced in advance, and He is carrying out His will on His church, on Babylon, on Israel, on the nations. There will be absolutely nothing left that has not been fulfilled. And it says here, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. This should always be the case, that whoever is sent by God with a word, that the Spirit can go with them, that the Spirit can rest on us. As is said of our Lord in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And therefore He could preach the gospel to the poor, the deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them that are bound. Verse 17 says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. May it just be so. I believe that there is no need for any commentary if what is written here is fulfilled in our lives, that the Lord is with us, that He teaches us and shows us what serves our salvation and guides us on the way we should take, which we cannot choose, which we cannot determine. I've said this before. None of us have been asked when we want to be born, where we want to be born. None of us. Somehow we have been placed in this world by God, have our life here, and will have to leave again one day. The important thing is that God has come into His own in our lives. Psalm 45 reads from verse 3, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most Mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. We could go on reading how the Spirit of God inspired these men of God, and how prophetically everything has already been laid down. And you realize this when you read the Old and New Testament. You can read the same verses in Hebrews 1. Some of the verses are the same. Thy throne, O God, is forever, a scepter of righteousness. And what did the prophet say? Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. And the scepter or the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When you put all these statements of the men of God together, it makes such a harmonious whole that you simply have to marvel, worship, and say, Lord, despite all human weaknesses and infirmities, you proclaimed your everlasting plan of salvation in advance through the mouth of your servants and prophets under the inspiration of your Spirit. And at the same time, you later had men who took all these words, who placed them, who knew where they belonged. What a privilege God has bestowed on us, in that He has given us a genuine and true love for His Word. For His Word, for the Word of Truth. And when it is written in 2 Thessalonians 2, because they received not the love of the truth, God sent them strong delusion. Then this is rightly done. God's word is indivisible, and it is true, and we can believe it. Blessed is the man in whose heart there is indeed such a love for the truth as only God can put into us. And blessed is the man who regards every word of God as true, even the one that says, "Therefore God, even thy God, has sent thee." Blessed is the man to whom this is transfigured by the Spirit, who does not shake, who does not interpret, who does not stumble, but who is able to place, because he has been placed by God. All these men of God, whether prophets or apostles, they were not mystics, they were not philosophers, they were men of God who had insight into the eternal plan of the Most High, and spoke and wrote, urged and driven by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God has not changed. And I go one step further. I believe that the same Spirit of God that rested upon all the prophets and was upon all the apostles, that the same Spirit of God inspired Brother Branham, that the same Spirit rests upon us to see the same word as they saw it, to understand it as they understood it, to place it as they placed it, so that everything is right. From God's point of view, it's right anyway. It is only important that we leave it in this divine order, and that we allow ourselves to be placed in this divine order. We could go on to many other scriptures, but that's not what we are here for tonight. We want to ask God, really ask Him to give us grace, that He gives us grace, that we let ourselves be placed, and that we can place His Word so that every scripture can be harmonized with all the others, and so that God can feel at ease, that He is not angry, but that He can bless, that He can save, that He can teach, as it is written, "I am He who teaches you the way you should go." Who among us knows the way? Who of us knows something? We are all dependent on God. What is our knowledge? It doesn't count for anything with God. Either we are taught by God, as the scriptures say, "Then all my sons will be taught by me." And we believe that. We believe that all the sons of God are taught by God, but not by heart, but inwardly, namely through the Word. And if anyone thinks you have to read between the lines, I have a hard time reading the lines, and that's quite enough for me. If everything that is written, and we don't need to believe anything more, because the Lord Himself said it in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, that the Lord, in this psalm, in comparison with Isaiah 53, where He is described in His humiliation as a servant, in the likeness of a servant, as a man who had no form nor comeliness, as someone who was shunned, whom one did not like to look at. And here it says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." He who was despised is the same who has been exalted. He who is despised and rejected by some is regarded by others as the precious cornerstone and the fairest of 10,000. It's just like that. And we are grateful to our Lord that we are among those who suffer because our Lord had to take everything upon himself for our sake. He let himself be beaten for our sake, for your sake and for mine. He is the one from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. He was so battered that they hid his face from him. What will it be on that day when all will see his face and realize this is he whom we have pulled the beard, the one we spat on, whom we have beaten, whom we have blasphemed, saying, prophesy unto us, who is he that smote thee? How will all those who crucified him feel when the judgment takes place and he sits on the throne as judge and all must bow before him and confess that he is the Lord? May God grant us the grace to love him because he has loved us, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth, for the cause of truth, and that's what it's all about. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, not revelations hanging in the air. Thy word is truth. The word is revelation. It only needs to be transfigured for us by the Spirit. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most Mighty. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Here is the Most Mighty. Gird thy sword, O Most Mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. May he give us this grace to see him as the victor of Golgotha, to believe him, to look away from us, to look to him in the certainty that he has overcome and also makes us overcomers. He had to walk a path full of shame. He could not choose it. The most he could say was, not my will, but yours be done. He could say, let this cup pass from me. It would have been better for him. It had to be for us. He had to drink it. He had to die so that we could live. And so we really want to lay the days ahead of us before the Lord. It is not about the sermons that we expect during these days, but about blessings, about encountering the crucified one, the risen one, the one who will soon return, personally encountering him and having this experience with him, that we not only know him from the scriptures, but have an encounter with him through personal experience, which will then shape our whole lives and make us grateful. It is very much on my heart that in these days ahead of us, we not only hear the Word of God, but also what the Lord has prepared for us and what he has promised, that we will experience it by grace. And God will give us grace to do so. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depths of our hearts for your word, that you have addressed to us in these days. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are still at work, that you are still calling people, that you are still pulling them out of perdition, and you are bringing them into your kingdom. We praise your glorious name. We also thank you, Lord, for all whom you still call, everywhere, in all places. Here and there, you let your word go forth and call people out. We thank you especially for your servant and prophet, whom you have sent, who has brought us your word, and that we may cling to your word in these last and serious times. But Lord, we know that we'll stand our ground with you in this battle and will emerge victorious. We worship you and ask you, Lord, help all those who are weak, help all those who are in need, who need you so much, Lord, who are sick. You are able to heal them, for you are the great physician and the great helper. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.